Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been to the State Fair this week? How many of you like to ride the roller coasters at the State Fair? It's fun for the young, not so much for the adults. But as Jesus' disciple, Simon Peter had experienced many ups and downs this last four Sundays. First, Peter made his confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus affirmed his confession, saying that he would build the church upon this identity of Jesus as the Christ. Then Peter rebuked Jesus for teaching them that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised again on the third day, which caused Jesus to reprimand Peter as Satan for not being mindful of God's will, but of that of his own sinful human nature. Then the disciples came to Jesus, arguing as to who would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus replied that they must become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Today, Peter asks Jesus whether he's being especially virtuous by forgiving the same person repeatedly. Peter asked, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" It's remarkable in the eyes of the world to forgive one habitual sinner seven times. It's really quite generous, even bordering on foolish, to forgive so often. Do you know anyone like that? A person who is constantly in need of forgiveness? Or even more to the point, are you that person constantly in need of forgiveness, always acting impulsively, participating in gossip, or running down the reputation of others, even if they seem to richly deserve it? What am I supposed to do with someone like that? What is such a person supposed to do himself? Replying to Peter, Jesus said, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times seven." 70 times seven. My heart wouldn't bear to give mercy so freely. I'd have withdrawn forgiveness long before seven, not to mention 70 times seven. Yet Jesus didn't imply that forgiveness be limited to 490 times, but that we must forgive without limit. At this, Peter must have wondered whether or not it was even possible. But that's what Jesus said. And then he told them a parable. A king comes to a debtor to settle accounts. The debtor owes him an absolute fortune and is completely unable to pay. So under the law, the master declares the debtor bankrupt and orders him to be sold along with his family and possessions so that some amount of payment be made. The servant pleads with the king to have mercy and to be patient, and the servant will make the entire payment. The master knows that that servant will never, ever be able to pay back the huge fortune of 10,000 talents that he owes. So moved with compassion for this man who pleads for him to have mercy and to be patient, the king suddenly, unexpectedly, mercifully, and graciously frees the debtor and cancels out everything that the man owed. More than a few of you lived through the farm crisis of the 70s and the 80s. Am I right? Perhaps you or your neighbors owed thousands of dollars, and you couldn't even pay the interest, which compounded faster than your crops could grow. Many farms where I grew up in Iowa ended up in a sheriff's auction to repay the debts. Before it came to that, you didn't promise to repay if Who didn't promise to repay if only the creditors would have had some patience? Even knowing that it could never be repaid, they were willing to continue trying. If suddenly they had been released from paying back even a penny of it, what a burden would have been lifted from their shoulders. Or to have a future again and to live without bondage and burden. What freedom to go out and to live life knowing that your debt had been canceled. But that is the gospel. What have we all done? In one way or another, we have all responded according to the parable. That servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went out and threw him into prison until he should pay his debt. The one who had such a great debt canceled found a man who owed him about 3 months' wages. The forgiven debtor throttled his own debtor and demanded his fellow servant, who would have been able to pay, given some time, pleaded for patience and promised to pay the entire debt owed. But the forgiven debtor was unwilling to wait nor to cancel even such a small debt. Jesus said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" This is more than a mere story about collecting money owed and tearing up loan papers. This is about our sins against God and the forgiveness that He has given to each of us. It's about His forgiveness that we ought to announce to others. Jesus concluded, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Just as that debtor who had his entire debt voided, we who have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus go around seeking vengeance and repayment. Even so, what we poor sinners primarily lack is not to offer forgiveness. Rather, our problem is that we fail to receive forgiveness. This parable of Jesus is not a pep talk so that we might become more merciful, more patient with, and more forgiving to others. The basic problem with the debtor who owed so much was not first that he failed to forgive, but that he never understood the receiving of complete forgiveness, the gracious gift of God. If I conclude that Jesus' parable teaches me to try to be more forgiving than I am, then I still don't understand the Lord's forgiveness of me. Jesus is not teaching us to ask, "What would Jesus do?" and then to imitate him. Why? By perseverance, I might be able to forgive my brother 3, 4, or even 7 times, but that's not enough to meet the law's demands. Falling short of the law, my debt grows even greater. I try again to forgive from my heart and my soul, but when they are filthy and unclean, the debt just compounds. As St. Paul wrote, "We too must groan to the Lord. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord." In the Church of Jesus Christ, the holy ground upon which we all stand and walk with the Lord is that of hallowed forgiveness. Jesus desires that all people stand upon the sanctified soil that is built that is cleansed from the curse that cries out for vengeance. Stand on that rock upon which his church is built, which is Christ the Lord. All must stand forgiven, from the smallest infant to the lowest soul, to the lost soul who has brought it back, to the brother who has sinned against another and in love is confronted, so that forgiveness may be received. Jesus proclaimed his presence even among two or three who are gathered in his name, and that he is in their midst. He is the holy ground upon which we stand. In the same way we are gathered in his name, the Lord has promised that he is with us. Again, St. Paul wrote, "When we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is God who has had mercy on you, passing over your sins by laying your punishment on the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The same God has mercy for that brother who continually sins against you and comes asking for forgiveness. To believe the gospel is to remember what Jesus has already done for us, dying our death to sin, forgiving all sin, and raising us to eternal life with him in the presence of God the Father. The same grace and patience that the Lord has had for you, enduring the stripes due to you, Jesus Christ also has for the brother who has hurt you and comes asking for forgiveness. The forgiveness of the Son of God earned for you on the holy cross and guaranteed in his Easter resurrection is the same forgiveness earned for your brother. Children of God, we are called by the Holy Spirit to announce the grace of God won by Christ to everyone. Your brother and you both have equal pardon by the merits of Christ. So, who are you? Just as I, the pastor, to forgive even a single sin? The only basis is the word of the Lord. You can only say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you. Being among the priesthood of all believers is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, especially those who sin against you and seek your forgiveness. When the forgiveness of Christ is rightly received, then the extension of forgiveness follows. We forgive, not because and not just after we're asked for forgiveness, but because Jesus has first forgiven us. And this is not new. It is as familiar to you as the gospel of Jesus, as the presence of the Lord, as the liturgy of his church. For more than 70 times 7 Sundays, you have heard the gospel announced by your pastor. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the novel, Hammer of God, by the late Swedish Bishop Bo Geertz, the pastor of the small Swedish parish of Odesio sums up his joy in knowing that grace and forgiveness is all God's doing and how marvelous this truth is for us too. Quoting, "In the first place, I myself see light where I formerly saw only darkness. There is light in my heart and light over the congregation. Before, I was in despair over my people and at their impenitence. I see now that this was because I kept thinking that everything depended on what we should do. And for when I saw so little of true repentance and victory over sin, helplessness crept into my heart. I counted and summed up all that they did, and not the smallest percentage of the debt was paid. But now I see that which is done. I see that the whole debt is paid. Now, therefore, I go about my duties as might a prison warden who carries in his pocket a letter of pardon for all his criminals. Do you wonder that I am happy? Now I see everything in the sun's light. If God has done so much already, surely there is hope for what remains." The peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, keep your heart and mind grounded in Christ Jesus.